So I would even suggest that we take a moment of prayer, and of course, singing is also good, but we could take a moment of prayer. Let's also pray for America also for a moment. Can we just pray? Father, in the name of your beloved Son, the Savior, the only Savior, Yeshua, we turn to you in simple faith, thanking you that you know what you're doing and you know what needs to be done, and that you override the will of man when it needs to be done so. But you ask us to pray. We pray for wisdom in all these affairs that happen in the United States government today. We pray that as far as it is your will, that righteous cause would win. But there's a point where you know beyond what we know and perceive. So we pray only your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you that you help the president, the government. We pray for your will to be done, but above all, your name to be glorified and hallowed. And you, everything works for the coming of your kingdom and the inner kingdom that we already have, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, would increase by the finished work life. And so we thank you, and we pray for Israel. We pray that you would restrain the forces that would like to bring chaos and riots, that you restrain those forces. We thank you that you bless also your body, the church. You bless Pastor Seller and everyone else, and refresh Pastor Sibeli after the long journey whenever he comes. Refresh him, and we pray that the Son of God may be magnified beyond anything, and that we may have freshness of vision, appreciation, that we may esteem you in your word higher today than we have ever done in our lives by the help of the Holy Spirit. In your precious name, amen. You left the other morning in the song. Can you do it again?
Sure.
If anyone is still coming, there are seats, and I've been so thankful that you, many people have been coming, and you've taken time to come. This morning, I'm really dependent on the Lord's grace, because we're taking on a topic that someone may have taken it somewhere in the world, I'm almost sure, but I never heard about it that way, and it's bigger than my ability. God's orders are always bigger than our ability. So if the Lord gives us grace, we're going to touch this topic, seven statements from the cross, launching out the new creation and comparing that with 7 days of natural creation, first creation for the second. We can scratch it somewhat in 1 hour, and say again, if the Lord is with us, he can quicken us, but this cannot be done without the renewal of our mind. So this is one of those things where God says, welcome into my world. So we're going to launch into scriptures. We're going to read more scriptures, less heart-to-heart talk, but it's God's heart-to-heart talk to us. First day of creation, and we keep in mind that first creation is not for the first creation. First creation is for the new creation. The courtyard is not for the courtyard. It is for the holy place. Holy place is not for the holy place. It's for the most holy. Childhood is not for childhood. It is for youth. And youth is not for youth. It is for the mature age and meaning divine marriage. Okay, when the first day is there, Genesis 1, after God created the heavens and the earth, verse 3, and Elohim said, God said, let there be light. And there was light. I don't touch so much the Hebrew words, but I just take the general meaning. And Elohim, God, saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now, when we look at the Gospels and the seven statements, very interesting. The Gospel of Luke has three of them. Gospel of John has three of them. Matthew has one, and Mark has one. Luke emphasizing the Savior's, Yeshua means the Savior, the Savior's perfect humanity, and John has his own emphasis, the divine Son of God, the ascending life, the eagle. Okay, so the first statement that Luke brings out is Luke 23:34, where the word Father is used. Father. And in the last statements, again, he says, Father, into your hands I give my spirit. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And Father, into your hands I give my spirit. During the first 3 hours, it wasn't yet so the wrath of God as it was the pains of the cross. But during the second 3 hours, when the sky went dark and there was darkness, it was so intense that the Father deemed, God deemed in heaven, that man's eyes are too sinful to look at that. And if you want to be even close to what is going on, you have to be right next to him, because sinful eyes should not be watching this awful, awesome moment. So the first statement is, well, God says, let there be light, and there was light. There was darkness, there was light. We know that wasn't created light, that was God's own glory. So when the Son of God says, Father, at that time he's still experiencing his relationship to the Father. He says, forgive them, they do not know what they do. Yes. They were in darkness. And when forgiveness came, light came. So the first creation, yes, needed light of God's glory. And God's light is the light of forgiveness. That's why Apostle John so much emphasizes, he that has hate, he that doesn't love, he walks in darkness, he doesn't know where he's going. In the context, the Roman soldiers, they were following orders. They thought they were being good soldiers. Okay, how about then the people that had delivered? Now that comes to us, the Jewish people delivered the Messiah to the Romans. Well, that prayer also goes there. And the prayer goes also for the whole. He was slain for all the sins of the world. So can we see that connection? The natural creation needed for the launching of it light. Okay, I'm not going into the gap factors. I'm just going day by day. We don't have time to go to those things. So when it was the 6 days, I'm only touching the six days, not the fall of the Lucifer here. Okay, so can you see the connection? Light, forgiveness. The moment we receive forgiveness, we're already in light. And the moment we give forgiveness, we're in the light. Any moment, any time we don't give forgiveness. Darkness, some darkness comes to us. Very important. And that forgiveness is conditioned, I mean, predicated on his paying for the sins of the world. Amen. Then comes second day. This is actually really amazing. It's bigger than what we can grasp. This is just kind of like touching it. Second day is in Genesis 1 from 6. Elohim, God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God, Elohim, plural name of God, made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from waters which were above the firmament. And Elohim called the firmament heaven, or heavens, Shamayim, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Okay. The second statement is in Luke 23, verse 43. But the context, it's good to read the context, starting from verse 39. Luke 23:39. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if you are the Messiah, if thou be the Messiah, save thyself and us, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him. Another gospel mentions that they were both kind of railing on him, but then light came to the second one. So according to Luke, rebuked him and saying, don't you fear God? Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss, nothing wrong. And then he says, Yeshua, unto Yeshua, to the Savior, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember the first, in the second day, the waters above were separated from waters below by the firmament. Verse 43, and Yeshua said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. As just a note, there are some people that twist the scriptures, and they say, those that believe in a soul sleep, they say, the comma should be in a different place. It should be, verily I say to you today, comma, you will be with me in paradise. This is not so. I always look also at the Aramaic text because it's very, very precise. And it says in Aramaic, I say to you that today, the de means that today you will be with me in paradise. You cannot twist the comma. King James has it in the right place. And I'm quite sure English standards and these other standards have it also correctly. So separation of waters from above down. Here is a separation. The two thieves are together, suffering together for their sin. And one says, we're sinners, remember me, recognizing he's the king. And he says, when you come in your kingdom, he believes in resurrection, he believes in kingdom, he confesses he's guilty. He doesn't have to know and say more. So he is separated from his past in one split second, and then he is going to be joined to the Lord. Just like the waters was separated, what's above to that which is above and below. By the way, now I don't know if I should go to this, but when the presidential elections happened 2000 and, 16, the Democratic candidate, we won't mention names, so the Democratic candidate said, this time we did not break the ceiling, but, and so on. Did you pay that, and anyone paid attention to that? I don't know. What did the Democratic candidate mean? They had a ceremony, like a glass ceiling, like a dome, on the place where the celebration for the victory was supposed to be done, and then it was supposed to be smashed, which is a sign of rebellion, that we're going to break this ceiling that God made called firmament. We're going to break out of our box, and I don't know if you noticed that. And the Father spared us from that. Again, we're not talking about flesh and blood. Let me not get sidetracked. But very interesting. So far, isn't it interesting? Light, forgiveness, separation above and down, and then separation from sin and uniting to the Messiah. Wonderful. New creation works that way. New creation works on the same line. Then comes the third day. Concerning the first, second, and third, it's quite clear. Concerning the fourth and fifth, I'm doing the best I understand, but it's difficult to put the order to those statements, four and five. Pastor Vieder is a very precise man with the word, and I don't know which conclusion he has come on that order between the four and five. You may, if you disagree with me, it's fine. I'm still learning this. The third one, I believe, is clear. Let's look at the third day in Genesis record from verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land, or yabasha, the dry or dry land, appear. And it was so. Pay attention to the word appear. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. So appear, and then God sees. Appearing and seeing. And then the outcome of that is, it's the earth rises above the waters. Let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and a fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. So it's producing after its kind, and so on. What could that have to do with the third statement on the cross? We don't want to forge scriptures, but I just can't avoid paying attention to this thing. When water is separated from the land, the dry land appears. Okay, John, Yohanan, chapter 19. Chapter 19, and there it is, starting from verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of the Savior, Yeshua, his mother and his mother's sister. Isn't that interesting? It's a side note, but his mother, but the mother's sister's name is not mentioned. All the other names are mentioned. And there's four women. It's four women. My wife pointed out, it's interesting. It's just like the four mothers Rachel and Leah, Rachel and Leah, Bilha and Zilpa. Four mothers. Very interesting. So sometimes, some people have a calling to be. I heard somebody say this, that the worst job in the world is to be a vice president, because you don't get to call the shots. You just got to serve in the shade. I completely disagree with that statement. I think the best job would be to be the vice president, because you're spared from the glory of the first place, and you can serve and initiate, and you're able to do something very few could do, to be a servant. So I always wonder, who is that lady? When we get there, I really want to find her, because she's equally important as the mother, but the mother of Yeshua, Miriam, had that unique calling. So Miriam has the attention, but the sister is faithfully next to her without any name. This will be so highly rewarded in the kingdom to come, because we don't need names other than what God gives. The no-name sister. Miriam, another Miriam, or Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene Miriam. Richard Wurmbrand said that there's something fishy here. Not fishy, but that the word Miriam is also like a calling. It means like a bitterness or bitterness of the sea. Mar, yam, Miriam. Because it's kind of a calling where you don't get glory, where you gotta wait. And then let's see what goes on. Verse 26, and when Yeshua therefore saw his mother, wow, the mother is there faithfully. I thank God for mothers. Sometimes when I see mothers on the street in Jerusalem, I always make way for them if they come with the baby card, and I say to them, "You are the heroes. God bless you. You are the heroes." And the disciples standing by him, whom he loved, and he said unto his mother, "Woman." Okay, here is something we need to say a couple of words about this. This statement, "woman," don't think that it's impersonal. Remember when the Lord started his ministry, and Miriam, Mary, said they have no wine at the wedding. He said, "Woman, what is that to you and me? My time hasn't come." I'm reading it as it is in his mother tongue. "Woman," why is he saying woman? Not mother or lady. "Woman," well, it can mean lady. He's referring to Genesis 3:15. "You are the woman." Aramaic does not have articles. It's a language similar to language called Suomi or Karelian, where the context decides if it should be understood as in English, the or a, article or no article. I would put an article there, "the woman," and teta, "the woman." You are the woman of Genesis 3:15. I am the seed of the woman. So when it says, "woman, what is that to you and to me?" It's like, now is the time that I call you by that honorary name. You are the woman. I am the man that came out, the seed. But I haven't heard from the Father yet. My wife is great help to me. I work together with her. There's certain things that men do not understand, not even from scholars, that women understand. And those are the things that have to do with women. So I use my wife, use, that's a terrible word. I accept my wife's portion. I accept my wife's portion here. And you know what she said? She gets these chimps. I can never get them. This is amazing. She said, the only time, he said, as a mother, the mother of the Savior knew the time of the birth, knew when it's ready, and launch out the physical life of the Son of God. So, God gave the mother the knowledge. It's time for you to launch your ministry. That's the only service that the mother could provide to the son. Well, he still hears from God. So the Messiah says, the woman. I would translate it like that. My time hasn't come. In other words, I haven't heard yet from the Father. She goes with full confidence. Good, okay. Whatever he's going to say to you, just do it. But she knows he's going to say something. He knows that, she knows the time has come. Mother knows the times. And God has not taken that away from the mother. But still, the Messiah has to have the peace from the Father. So he does have the peace from the Father. And he says, okay, fill the water pots with water. That was in the beginning of the ministry. Now, when the ministry is coming to an end on the earth and the culmination of it, the cross and resurrection, is there. He's run his race. Wow. He says again, woman, Isha, actually, in Aramaic, Anteta, or however it was, the woman. Behold your son. Behold. Nothing else needs to be said. And then he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his home. Okay, remember the word appear. Dry land appear. The place where the bushes and the trees and everything are going to grow, it appears. So in this context, behold, it appears. New fellowship appears. New connections appear. In the old connection, the relationships were different. Now the relationships appear in a different way. Now this is really amazing because while the master was with his 12 disciples, while he is with his 12 disciples, the mother is kind of in the dark about the teachings and the details and this and that. But is the Messiah not conscious of it? She was the one that was hiding all these things in her heart. She was the one that cared. So the Messiah is going to give the best to the mother, the disciple that was close to him, to her, and fill her in with everything. So when he says, the woman or the woman, I would say, it's a great honor. Now as the seed of the woman, I'm finishing my work. And my connection to you this way is now ending. And now you get a son that can tell you everything I didn't have time to tell you. There's more to it, but just that much. And then John, Yohanan, well, he was interested in everything concerning the Messiah. Now he's going to hear the stories, how the Messiah grew up. Everything about his youth, everything about that which the Messiah never told the 12, because he had another track to work on. Now John is going to come out with fullness and access to things that no one else kind of has. Well, then, but also John has to wait a little bit, because now he has an extra thing to do. It appears an extra thing to take care of, but it's a blessing of the relationship. So let me just say this. Just like the earth where the ground produces, in a new creation, relationships appear. As a personal testimony, when I came to that boat, I came from Israel to that boat where Dr. Shala was teaching a seminar, and there were some other people. Marty O'Brien was also. To me, what is my place that I should be connected with you all? It just appeared. I just saw, okay, here's a man that teaches the things that I've been pondering in my heart, and I heard nobody talk about them. It appeared that's my place. The same way are going to where we are, my wife and I, Israel, to plant seeds there. It just appeared. So everything is like ready. Behold, behold. This is how God's work goes on. We go on a street and whatever, and it's just someone comes and, okay, you. And then what we're going to say to them may be one sentence that's going to change their life. It's literally like that when we walked in what is prepared before us, but we got more ground to cover. Day 4. Okay, like I said earlier, day 4 and day 5, the order is difficult. I could be wrong here, but if I make a mistake confusing the order, it's not a big mistake. Okay, let's go on. Fourth day. It says in the Bible, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. These are the created lights, which are the representative lights. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. Oh, wow. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens. So here a key connecting word is set. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule and so on. God set them. God set them. What would that have to do with the fourth statement, which is in John 19:28? It first seems like there is nothing, no connection. But wait, wait. John 19:28. After this, Yeshua, the Savior, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, put it upon a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. Set. Lights were set, and the drink is set. We need to look at a couple of scriptures here. This is very interesting. remember the word set. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing from the beginning, we're also encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto the Savior, the author and finisher of our faith. So set. Very interesting. So when the Messiah is at the end of his race, he says, I thirst, when his race is finished. But how could that connect with the starry heavens? Wait a second. Psalm 19. Mm-hmm. From verse 4. It talks about verse 2. The day unto day uttereth, from verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. Yes. And a firmament showeth his handiwork work. Yes. That's a firmament. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of this chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. So the natural sun runs his race over the earth like that. I'm saying nothing about the scientists now. I'm saying what the Bible says. It's pictured like this, that the sun and the moon, they run over the earth like a race. And the Son of Righteousness has run his race and has come to the end of doing what he had to do, say what he had to say, doing the atonement, and then there is only one thing left that is set for him, to take the last drink. And the first creation is coming. I mean, old creation. We are still in the first creation in this body, but old creation has run its race to the end. And in the cross, he brought the old creation to the end. He ran his race like the sun ran his course. And everything is set for us now that we step into the new creation. Natural creation and new creation are close, but there's still a distinction. The earth, in the world in which we are, this is a natural creation, and the millennial is the last phase of the natural creation. But we are on the inside a new creation. The kingdom which we have received and are receiving is a new creation. So I do see that there's a connection. One more verse about that. Ooh, clock is still on our side for a few minutes. Okay, Psalm 23. Hebrew, I got to bring in Hebrew here, not to burden you, but to help you. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the circles of righteousness for his name's sake. I know the translators looked at this, and they know fully well Ma'agal is a circle. But they say, I don't know, people won't understand it. It leaves it in a oblivion. So let's say paths of righteousness, because paths can circle like sheep, and that's fine. But the literal is circle. He leads us in a circle of righteousness. The sun does its circle, the moon does its circle, the seasons do their circle. And in Israel, it's from one feast to another feast. Another spring feast, and thy paths, they are dripping with fatness and blessing and food. This is the circle. It's a very close connection between the natural creation and the new creation. New creation is created according to the same pattern. Would be interesting to go more into that sometime. Okay, so let's leave that. Go to a difficult one, which is fifth day. Okay, let me ask you, so far, are you with me so far? And I'm saying to myself that the last thing I want to do is twist scriptures. I don't want to add or take away, but to a spiritual mind, the deep things of God, there needs to be some digging, some digging, some digging. And a great gold has to be dug, and it's there, and then it's very rewarding. But there is such a wisdom in our Father. There's such a wisdom for every day, every moment. As great as His love, so is His wisdom, His wise love. Okay, the fifth day is like this. We can go pretty quickly over that, and then I want to really get to the sixth. Okay, Genesis 1:20. And Elohim, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creature that has life. Life. Wow. And fowl that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. God likes these open spaces filled with life and creatures. And Elohim, God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after they kind. Every winged fowl after his kind. So let them multiply. He's multiplying. And God saw that it was good. And then God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters and fill everything. Multiply. But here's the thing. To multiply normally takes more than one. One does not multiply. Matthew chapter 27:46. That's why the Lord sent the disciples even two by two. Life creates desire to share fellowship, body fellowship. Now, I know that's a little bit tricky. Like, if you take the persecuted church, you can see that there is a, like Pastor Sun, 20 years in a labor camp, not seeing any believers, not seeing even a Bible, and prospers by fellowshipping with the Father and the Son. But the moment he comes out and is set free after 20 years, he couldn't wait to start fellowshipping. But he was fellowshipping in his heart. Warbrand was praying for believers all around the world. So it's not always a matter of how many. There could be isolated situations. Somebody can live in Montana somewhere in a small town where it's a church that goes sour, and a church stops teaching the literal blood and what have you. And then a believer may need to step out and find a small prayer group, establish one, and start Bible studies in a home. I don't know what. Normally, the normal church setting is good, but there are exceptions where things go sour against the scripture. Then God will give some kind of a form of fellowship. But it's always the idea is to multiply. Now here, when the Lord is, you understand what I'm saying, our desire is always to fellowship. But the tricky thing is in the last days, because when deceptions or confusions or actually mixtures come in, So there needs to be a caretaking, great caretaking, that we stay out of mixture. So sometimes numbers are a blessing, but there are times when, I didn't want to go into the mega church subject, but sometimes the mega church is not the best. But if they spread the gospel, pray that they give Bibles everywhere. But let me stay in the verse, okay. 27, Matthew 27, verse 46, or 45 and 46. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, which practically is from 12 o'clock to 3 p.m. That is when the wrath of God was poured in totality upon the Messiah. When he was praying in the garden about if it's possible, if it were possible to be spared from that, the fearful thing to him was what he was fearing was that separation. A word of caution. There's also a verse that says God was in the Messiah reconciling the world unto himself in 2 Corinthians 5, 16, 17, 14. So there is a sense in which the unity of Godhood never was broken, but in his experience, as a man, there was a total separation. But while that is going on, well, the Father was, God was in the Messiah reconciling the world. So we have to keep that in mind. So in his experience, everything that he is experiencing is this. About the ninth hour, Yeshua, the Savior, Jesus, cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? One of the translators from the Aramaic said, you can also translate it maybe even better, why have you left me alone? I don't think forsaken me is bad, but maybe a little more literal, equally good, is why have you left me alone? Here it is. When God blessed all the creatures that he made on the fifth day, created, he said, multiply, be fruitful and multiply. We said earlier, multiplication is very difficult alone. I don't think it has ever been done alone. You know what I'm saying? So spiritually, in this point, the Savior is taking the loneliness, being alone, the loneliness of hell, the loneliness of the separation that was never made by God to enter the creation. He was taken. This is so deep, we have no way to understand it. John Bunyan, do you remember that not that we met him, but you read about him. I appreciate so highly that devout preacher 400 or 500 years ago in the British Isles. In one of his books, he tells the Lord gave him really insights into this spiritual kingdom. And if I remember correctly, this is what he said. And this is not in the Bible, so it's not cardinal things, but it's worthwhile. He said that the loneliness in the place of the lost is so bad that it's not necessarily only that when a rich man is saying, tell my brothers that they don't come here, Well, it well can be that he doesn't want him to come there for the reason it's bad for them. But he said there's another reason. That the loneliness is so terrible and absolute that every new person that comes makes their existence worse. It's not that it's going to be a party when there's more people. On the earth, we can illustrate it this way. If somebody is sick, so sick that they can't even talk, they can only get their next breath. You know, in those cases, once I went to see one man, and he said, "Thanks for coming, but sorry, I got to be alone." The presence of someone else makes it even worse. The Lord took the loneliness in such a level that we have no way to understand. But why? We never need to be alone. We never will be alone. The Lord only experienced it those 3 hours, and he ran the course till the end. He took the last sponge on his lips. He did the whole thing. And the thing that he really thirsted for more than anything, that God be glorified. Now he glorified God. In the absence of the experience of God, he paid for the sins of the world. But there's the bigger other side, the flip side is he glorified God. Now we've got to remember this. We never leave the blood, and we'll never leave the blood of the cross. But there's a different thing here. On the Passover, when the blood is sacrificed in the courtyard, that is how the blood benefits us. This is great. This is where we get our peace. This is where we get our assurance. This is what makes us really know we're the children of the Father. But then when in the fall feast on Yom Kippur, when here is the Holy of Holies and the blood is placed there, there it is how the blood benefits the Father, how the Father esteems the blood, how the blood glorifies God. So we never leave the blood, and we never leave the blood of the cross. But it's totally away from the me consciousness to his consciousness. But that will be more in the Song of Songs section. Okay, two more. And we'll really just read a couple of sentences about it. On the sixth day, what happened? We can say it in a couple of words. Genesis 1:26, and God said, this is huge. I should have had a whole hour for this. Let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and all that. Okay. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. John 19:30. What does that have to do with new creation? Everything. And the broken image, it's still image, but it's broken. John 19:30. The Savior Yeshua therefore had received the vinegar. When he had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. The big goal is reached. When man reaches the image of God, when man is created in the image of God, there's a satisfaction for God because he can get a counterpart. If he can gain this man that he created, then starts a war. Which tree? Tree of independence or tree of dependence? Tree of the fatherhood of God and the possibility to be the bride or the be yourself and be your own father trip. Okay, so here is the thing then. It is finished. God gets his image back by redemption, and now we can move back into that image. In Aramaic and Greek, the words are very, very much of the same meaning. In Greek, it is tetelestai. I have very great difficulty to imagine that the Savior, who spoke Hebrew all his life, suddenly swapped into Greek and shouted it tetelestai. I hear the preachers say that, and it's fine, it's fine. It's not about languages, but I believe he said it in his own language. The meaning is exactly the same. But in Hebraic it is, yeah, it is finished, it is paid, it is completed. And if I used a good English word, it would be, it is everythinked. Put the word everything into a verb, past tense, everythinked. Can you think on that track? I tried to teach this word to my native English speaker wife, and she didn't. She said it's not an English word, but everything has been brought into everything. There's only one way to see it. It's fullness. The Father has man in his own image. Redemption, the price, opens the door for this. And now we're moving into new creation, and we're moving into the next room. But before that, the last statement. Luke 23:46. Ooh, wow. Now he goes back to the Father. Father, has this made any sense to you? I tell you, this is a supernatural book. It has wisdom that no universities can teach us. Or maybe Bible colleges, but I'm not talking about that. The natural universities cannot teach us the way the Father teaches us. And it's got everything. So the last statement from the cross is back in the Father statements. Luke 23:46. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Luke 23:46. When the Savior, Yeshua, I say Yeshua because to me, it's Savior, is that word, that's the track, I think. Jesus just as fine, but there's that family connection in that word, had cried with a loud voice. And now he cried. He somehow got the strength to cry. By the way, I'm amazed when a thief on a cross, okay, it wasn't yet the midpoint of the 6 hours, but how he was able to say all those sentences. It was so painful to push your body, try to get the breath, and it was so hard to talk to the Savior. It was double hard because his back was beaten and whipped and in shreds that the other guys didn't have. So now he somehow gains strength, and he shouts in verse 46. He cried with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That's the peak of everything. Everything is now committed to the Father. And I don't have time to comment, but give one verse. 1 Corinthians 15:24. We have to leave it hanging, but it's an extremely great thing. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Clock, can you stop for a moment like the sun stopped on the valley of whatever. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15:24. I don't think it's stopping. We can read this verse. Then comes the end. And the word here is actually the end. rather than gold. Then comes the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. On the cross he committed his spirit, and at the end of the millennial reign he commits the whole kingdom to God the Father. There's the Father. Everything back to the Father. Wow. When he shall put down all rule and authority and power, and he goes as a lamb to the Father's throne. The drive for the Father was all his life. After preaching and healing and a busy day, he said, you go to the boat, God will take care of you. I got to go to the mountains. I just got to talk to the Father. Just got to talk to the Father. And that's his love for the Father and his love for the Word is what we can learn from, or rather partake from. Amen. We can never finish these things by speaking, so we better stop. Amen.